Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, we discuss Connor McKenna's penalty. Should Frio rest Sandy? And did we have West Coast too low on the ladder at the start of the season? Plus, our tips for round four.
That was out of bounds! I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh!
Stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, listeners. It's Thursday morning. It's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. It's brought to you by Tab Touch. With me in the studio, Glenn Quartermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior football writer at the West Australian. Big round four coming up, Quarters.
Duff, how many last week?
Not enough, Glenn.
Six for me, which all is adequate.
I'm trying to remember whether I was five or six.
I should have been seven, but I threw my tip in the bin on Friday night when I picked Carlton, clearly.
Yeah, I tipped Geelong to beat West Coast. I was nervous about it when I did it, and I'd given up on it by half time. I thought I was home at three-quarter time,
and then, of course, we
all know what happened after that. But
Same. I think I'm going to jump on board with your theory about Carlton now, mate. So I'm going to turn them around and allow them to win this week. That's what I'm going to do. I guarantee you.
Haven't had a lot of luck with the Blues so far?
No, I haven't. No. I've had faith in them, and I still have faith in them, but let's just call it long-term faith now.
Now, we do have... we're going to answer more questions later on, but let's deal with one that's very pertinent and current at the outset. You've got one on Connor McKenna.
I have, yes. Ben from Leafy Karen Up asks, Connor McKenna's penalty fair or too lenient?
So three?
Well, if you look through history, Chris Lewis way back, 91 was it?
91.
Yeah, yes. I was actually at that tribunal hearing in Melbourne. It was on video, and that was a gag reflex situation. So the argument that was placed in on Louis's behalf was that, you know, it's a gag reflex. Someone puts their finger in your mouth area, you chomp down on it. That's just a natural reflex. The Maston was 2 weeks,
two weeks,
piercing the skin. So, look, I think they probably got it about right. I don't like it. And he looks like he had a fair bit of a chomp too, McKenna. I mean, it wasn't just he's hungry. He's had a bit of a nibble. He's had a real go at it. But look,
it was like a year 12 student doing the waltz at a school ball.
You're talking precedence, I think three is about round the mark. It's not an insignificant penalty, three. I think the deterrent is as much about the public scrutiny as it is the penalty itself. So he's going to have to live that down.
It's an unsightly thing, isn't it?
Yep.
Biting, spitting, those sorts of things. They're all very unsightly in this day and age where... bodily fluids can be problematic as far as health concerns go. So I think 3 weeks was about right. He acknowledged that he did it, but he was a bit of a mad dog. I did like the headline on the AFL's website, Man Bites Dog.
Brilliant headline.
That was absolutely
bravo
priceless.
On that headline. That was a great headline.
Do you have a bit of sub-editor's envy?
I do. I love it. I love a good headline. No, that was terrific. And, you're right. He did have a bit of mad dog Irishman about him, didn't he?
Yeah, and it's a shame. He's a really explosive player. He's very fast off the halfback line. He gives them some real bounce, I think, McKenna. I think he'll be a good player once he irons out some of the rough edges and keeps his teeth away from other players' necks.
Well, that'll be his nickname for the rest of his career, Chomper or something along the likes of it. But he'll have to carry that now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think one of the things for all sports people to remember when they fall foul of authority, and this applies to the Australian cricketers as well, you're not out there curing cancer. So at the end of the day, it is a game, and it's always best viewed in that context. While we all take it really seriously, and it matters to a lot of people, it is a game.
But I think, as I said, 3 weeks isn't insignificant. It's a reasonable slice of the season. I think they got it about right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think 2 weeks is a very big suspension for an AFL player these days.
Yeah, true.
Now, a bit of news, Quarters,
yes.
On the AFLW front.
Yes.
Two superstars of the Fremantle team.
Yes, they have engaged.
Cara Dinallan and Ebony Antonio.
Congratulations to the lovely couple.
Yes, well done. it was virtually a pseudo proposal, I think, at the Best and Fairest last Friday night. And
good on them.
And they've put the ring on the finger now. So both great players. Probably, I would think, the two most strategically important players to the Fremantle AFLW team. Antonio plays centre-half back. And, of course, Dunellan is their primary midfielder. So well done, girls. All right, let's get on to the tips for this week. Adelaide versus Collingwood. What are you?
Adelaide thoughts? Oval Friday night. Collingwood. Now, while we're on the subject of Collingwood, there's a theory coming out there. There are more soft tissue injuries for them. Taylor Adams, who's a massive out for them.
Yep.
And Elliot as well, just on the verge of a return, and he's I think pinged his hamstring as well. There's a spate of these soft tissues, and there's a theory that Gosh's paddock is too hard, and that's what's causing this. So I think there's definitely something not right.
Are they the only ones that train on Gosh's paddock? Where do Melbourne train?
I think Melbourne train there as well.
Yeah.
So
have they had any issues with soft tissue?
No. Only the norm.
Yeah. I wonder whether or not Gosh's paddock itself is too hard or not. If it is significantly different to where you play your games, that's got to be an issue. If players are running to high stress levels on one sort of surface and then running to high stress levels on a differently sort of surface, I suspect you're going to get an adverse outcome. I think that they are so close to the red line now, these footballers, when they're playing. So I reckon there's probably something in that, but not necessarily because there's anything wrong with Gosh's
paddock.
I think
there's something going on. They just need to look at it. And I think with their sports science these days, players are managed within an inch of their lives. They have a daily diary at the club. They have to fill in all sorts of information, what their mood levels are, what they've had for breakfast, all of that sort of stuff. So that when
Sam Palpepper, which nightclub did I go to last night?
Yeah, that's right. So when they do have an injury, they look at the lead up, they look at anything they've done differently, and I'm not sure if that's going to come into calculations here, but it's a real pity. I think Collingwood was running into some pretty decent form, and they have a bit of a yelp on Friday night. I'm going to pick Adelaide. It's at home. They're in good form too. But I just reckon it won't be easy for the Crows on Friday night. As I said, Adams is a big out. Really looking forward to the clash of the two ruckmen, two of the form ruckmen, Grundy and big Sauce Jacobs.
Yep.
That to me will be something I'll be locking in on Friday night. Last time they played, I think it was McGovern's kick after the siren to draw this fixture.
That's right, the big mark over the back of the pack.
So, look,
he's probably had a pretty quiet start to the season, Mitch McGovern. He hasn't set the world on fire yet, so they'll be looking for something more from him, I reckon, in the coming weeks.
For sure. The one thing about Adelaide that I've liked, Laird's obviously started really well again in the back pocket, and I'm not sure whether they're going to eventually the penny's going to drop and they're going to lock down on him because he's just running as he pleases at the moment. But Bryce Gibbs, what a terrific start to the year at his new club. He's made a real impact there. And, you know, I know he's not unfamiliar to the Adelaide players. And well done, Bryce Gibbs. Really, the key is slowing those sorts of players down if Collingwood would be any chance here.
You know what? Gibbs is another example of how we appreciate players more when they're in good teams. Mm-hmm. And Bryce Gibbs has been a very good player. If you probably look at his numbers at Adelaide are probably not that much different to his numbers at Carlton. But the difference is playing in good team,
good point,
expected to contend, as opposed to playing in bottom end of the ladder team, expected to take 2 or 3 years to rebuild. We forget that. I have a saying about this: the sins of the team are revisited on the individual.
Mm.
And I think that happened to Matthew Pavlich a bit during his early career, before Fremantle became a stronger outfit later on in his career. And I think it happens to players like Gibbs, like Mark Murphy, probably Dane Beams at Brisbane, I reckon. We'll cop a bit of this, and a few of the other teams down towards the bottom, I reckon. You tipping Adelaide?
I am tipping Adelaide, yeah.
I'm tipping Adelaide. I liked Paul Seedsman's game, former Collingwood player. I liked his game last weekend when they beat
been
the
been good
Saints.
For them.
The Seed, as they call him.
He has been very good for them.
I don't think that Collingwood will be sowing the seeds of love towards their former teammate.
Well, it never happens, does it?
It never happens.
No.
But Adelaide comfortably for me at Adelaide.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that. I'm saying a couple of kicks, but Adelaide win it.
So inside 20? You think inside 20 points?
I'm saying inside 12.
Okay, I'll say inside 30.
Okay.
Giants versus Fremantle. Canberra, Saturday. Now, the Giants have a very good record in Canberra Glenn?
They have won their last 7 games in Canberra. So it's a terrific, I think the old MCG scoreboard's still there, am I correct? The original MCG scoreboard.
There is a famous scoreboard there.
It's the original MCG scoreboard.
It's not the SCG scoreboard.
The MCG scoreboard. The original MCG with the roll numbers. That's what was known as Manuka Oval.
Manuka, yes.
So, look, a couple of points there. I'm not sure if Lob is going to come up yet.
We aren't sure. It was 50-50 yesterday. I would argue when they say 50-50, probably less than 50-50. We saw that knee last week. Didn't look great. If Fremantle takes Aaron Sanderlands to Canberra.
Yeah, that's a moot point, that one. Obviously cleared at the tribunal this week. Is it worth resting him this week? He's going to have to be managed.
What are you saying? They can't win?
I am. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying rest him when you get the opportunity. And you know, he's not a young man anymore in terms of football. I think he needs to be managed, and this would be a good opportunity.
Yeah, look, I think that's a good point, and we'll know more about that this afternoon when we go to the airport to see them off.
So a really good point for me, this game will be A. Pearce and Jay Cameron, which if it eventuates, I'd love to see that happen.
You know, back on the Sandlands thing, it would have been an easy decision for them to rest him if Sean Darcy was available. I reckon, had Sean Darcy been available, Aaron Sandlands would not be flying to Canberra. But
So the Meek shan't inherit the earth just yet?
Well, they may. The Meek may inherit the earth, but we'll know more about this afternoon. They may be... See, Ross will have a plan, I reckon, to limit GWS's midfield. And the thing about Ross is he's very good at picking the right guy to tag.
So who's the right guy to tag? Is it one of the Brownlow favourites at the moment?
Well, it's interesting.
West Australian kid?
Interesting you say that, because John Hines asked that question on Twitter. He said, would you send Banfield to Kelly, Whitfield, Coniglio, Shield, Ward or Green? It's a fair field to choose from, isn't
The
it?
Problem there is that the very question. You're locked down on one and there's the rest of them. But my answer there would probably be Coniglio at the moment.
You know where he goes if I'm doing it?
Yep.
He goes to Whitfield.
The half-back.
Whitfield's given a bounce off half-back.
Yep.
I think bounce off half-back is important to them. I'd be sending him to Whitfield and I'd be asking for the lockdown job on him. And I reckon... what Ross is really good at, he's good at working out the one you can get, as opposed to...
the one that's just a waste.
Yeah.
He'll just get it anyway.
Yeah, the one he works out the one you can get. I reckon Ross will be thinking they can get Whitfield.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my tip early on. I'm going to tip the Giants. I'm going to say, I guess, what's an acceptable loss for Fremantle in this one? I'm going to say I'd like to see him inside 30.
I agree. I'm going to pick the Giants, and I think 25 points would be an acceptable loss. Cam McCarthy won't mind playing here. Last time he played at that venue was with the Giants. He's kicked five.
Yes.
So he will like the return to that venue.
Now, you mentioned you think Alex Pearce goes to Jay Cameron.
That's a possibility, yeah.
I think that's the way they'll go. I think they'll send Hamling to Patton, and I think they'll send Pearce to Cameron. Cameron's a bit more of a mover.
Pearce
has absolutely great closing speed for a 200-centimetre player. So I think, yeah, if they could get a good result out of that, and if they could get a good result out of choking down on Whitfield, which is the way I hope they go, then they could be in this game for a fair while.
Mm. For me, that would limit the damage, which is not a bad call.
Yep.
As opposed to winning it.
Yeah.
Richmond v Brisbane at the MCG. Look, you pick Richmond here. I love their game last week against Hawthorn. The pressure was right back to the levels of round 17 through the grand final last year. It was manic pressure, and Hawthorn forced Hawthorn into panic, which was not easy to do at this point in Hawthorn's development, been playing good footy. So I love what I saw from Richmond last week. You know, injecting some new blood too in Higgins. It was great to see him play, and what a great kid he is. His aftermatch stuff was sensational. Did you see all of that?
Got a snag.
A couple of snags.
A snag.
Ronaldo. Good on him. Should be more of it. Love it.
You just love kids when they just speak their mind and be themselves, as opposed to be what the communications manager for the club told them to be.
Exactly. Yes, that's right. But look, a lot to like about Brisbane. Had a pretty tough start to the year, really. They've done nothing wrong. And they're yet to post. So they're not going to post this week either, but it's another good step in their learning. I reckon it'll be 4 or 5 goal loss.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a bit like Freo versus the Giants. I think if Brisbane were to walk away from this one inside 30 points, I think they'd be pretty happy, and they'd be—they're just waiting to get an opponent they can get on roughly even terms with at home and get the 4 points on the board.
And once again, we see in this year where the ruckmen are playing, we've got an amazing start to the year. Nankervis Martin,
it's Steph Martin, God, what a game last week!
It was. It was terrific.
Just shows you the dangers of another team not taking a ruckman in quarters, because obviously with Paddy Ryder out, Port Adelaide are pinch hitting in the ruck a bit with Charlie Dixon.
Geelong last week.
And Westhoff, Geelong against West Coast. I think even Sydney, their close game against West Coast in round one when Nat Nui and Scotty Lysette were quite dominant in that game as well. You've got to have at least one genuine ruckman in your team.
I know I've been effusive in my praise so far this year, but we're making too big a deal about ruckman. It was pointed out to me earlier today by a colleague that ruckman have been dominating the last couple of years. This is nothing out of the ordinary. What do you think?
Oh, we always think things are more important at the start of the year, and then we ease into the year and we realise the game is about a lot of things, and we become a little bit more balanced in our assessments. I'm tipping Richmond by 28 points.
Yeah, mid-20s for me. Western Bulldogs v Sydney. Etihad Stadium. Really good record at Etihad. Sydney won 12 of their last 13 at that venue. So they travel really well, particularly to that venue. And a couple of big outs for Sydney. Reed for a lengthy stint.
Yeah.
He was looking good last week, and his playing deep allowed Buddy to roam a bit around that half forward line. I like what Sydney do with Buddy. They can have their options of playing him deep or letting him roam. And we saw what happened when he roamed. He turned the game on its head late last week. So I like that. But also Melican's out with a hamstring. So, look, there's a bit of a void there for Sydney. I'm not prepared to pick the Dogs, though. I mean, they were good last week. So good that they sang their song twice in the...
So like New York, New York, so good we named it twice.
That's right. Exactly. number one for Mark's inside 50, the Dogs this year. Interestingly, good to see the Bont find a bit of form last week too. So a lot to like about last week's performance, but I'm still on Sydney.
It's still the old audit, isn't it? You're coming up against the Swans, you work out what you're good at and work out what you're not good at, and they'll expose anything you're not good at. Sydney would like Etihad Stadium because it's smaller and it's more compact. Yep. It comes back to their contested brand.
Yep. Bit like the SCG, I should say.
I reckon this will be inside 20 points, but yep. I'm tipping Sydney to win. I just hope the Dogs continue to give that sort of effort and intensity that they gave last week, because really that's what their fans are owed. And even if you won a premiership in 2016, you can't just not turn up for 2 years after.
I reckon a few of them would be fairly forgiving, though. You know, a flag's a flag. You can live off that for a while. West Coast v Gold Coast at Optus Stadium, Saturday night. And let's just offer our congratulations to Mark McRae for his 200th game.
And Nick Natanui for his 150th.
Exactly. And I think Robbie Walls, who had to sort of eat his words the other day, did acknowledge, to his credit, that you don't play 200 if you're a mug.
Mark McRae is a very good player. I think he's an underrated player. I think a lot of our... Apart from our absolute superstars in WA, so Nathan Fyfe gets his just recognition.
Josh Kennedy.
Nat Nui gets just recognition. Probably to a slightly lesser degree, Luke Shuey.
Yeah.
But players like David Mundy, Mark Lacroix.
Lachie Neal?
Lachie Neal, I reckon, is underrated.
Yep.
Yeah, I reckon that they often slide under the radar a little bit over East, and I think Mark Lacroix is one of those players. He's a small to mid-sized forward who averages 2 goals a game over the course of his year.
Which is a terrific average. You'll take that every day of the week.
Mate, that's 44 goals a year. Take it to the bank. You don't find many players other than your primary power forward that'll give you those numbers.
I must say his form this year has surprised me. I don't know whether it's a rebirth going to a new venue or what have you, but I thought he was probably very close to the end of his career at the end of last year. I'm not afraid to admit that, but he's proved me wrong. He's been terrific so far this year, Mark Lacroix.
Well, what it shows is he played injured last year. He had significant back, hip and leg problems, and they inhibited him. And I think as much as anything, for Mark Lacroix, the decision on whether to go on or not was about, okay, am I physically capable of getting myself in something like the shape I need to be in to play my best footy. And clearly, he's done that. He looked fit, I reckon, before they even played a pre-season game. Mark McRae looked fit and strong, and he's playing accordingly. He's a very valuable player. I'm tipping West Coast, and I think this is about a four-goal game. I think if you were the Suns and you were within four goals at the end of it, I think you'd be pretty happy.
Well, two things I'm looking forward to seeing. Aaron Hall's response, if he plays, after a shocker last week at the same venue, and to see how Tom Lynch goes. But I think still leading the AFL in contested footy, the Gold Coast. It's a new Gold Coast we've seen this year. We're right in it last week late, and I think they'll be right in it again up until about three-quarter time this week. And I think I'd agree with you. I think it'd be about a two- or three-goal game.
So what Stuart Dew's going to challenge his team to do, and we spoke to him down at Fremantle Oval yesterday when they trained, he said that they didn't challenge Fremantle enough with their ball movement. So he felt they were a bit timid, didn't take the game on enough, didn't move it quickly enough. So that's what he'll be challenging his team to do against West Coast. West Coast do set up very well in the zone ahead of you when you're trying to do that. So that's going to be an interesting challenge.
It's a quick ground too. And a few of the Gold Coast Suns acknowledged they have surprised where it's a really quick ground. So if you're not set up well, you're in a lot of trouble because it's coming out quick.
And it's a loud ground. So one thing that the Suns have to do, this may be the biggest crowd they've ever played in front of the Suns.
Yeah, well,
if this gets up around 50,000,
yep,
this will probably be the biggest crowd they've played in front of. So it's a big challenge for them.
It is. So West Coast for me, West Coast for you. North Melbourne v Carlton in Hobart. Toughest game to pick for me. I've gone with North. I think their form's okay. They've won 11 of 15 at Blundstone. Carlton, as I said earlier, I'm jumping off, so get on them. That's what I'm saying. I think they've lost 12 of their last 13, Carl.
Yeah, and it's hard to reinvent yourself, isn't it? And, you know, we all saw the first quarter against Richmond and we thought, wow, that's a really positive sign. And then other teams saw it too and they made the adjustments they needed to play against them, and we've seen...
It's the balance. The reinvention's been too extreme, the balance between offence and defence, and I think they need to find the balance in there somewhere, and they just haven't got anywhere near that.
So yet. What do you do? Because if you were Paul Ruse and you were in charge of Carlton, I suspect what you'd be doing is you'd be going back to defence and you'd be trying to build on that.
But they've been doing that for two or three years. I think he wants to unbutton the collar a bit this year, which is fair enough because you've still got a lot of kids in that team. I don't mind that. I just find I'd like a bit more balance there. I'm not sure if a full-on lockdown defensive mindset is what they need at the moment.
Why do all the analogies you use involve taking your clothes off, Cordis?
Oh, well, because I like doing that.
So I'm going to tip North. I'm also tipping that it'll be windy down there and probably a little bit bleak.
Hobart's a beautiful spot. It's just cold.
Yeah, best view.
I remember walking down the main street down there one day many years ago, and I was freezing. I actually had a jumper on, and one of the locals said, "Hot enough for you?" Actually, no, it's not. It's freezing. That's why I'm wearing a jumper. He had a T-shirt and shorts and thongs. It is quite cold. Beautiful spot, though, Hobart.
North Melbourne for me.
Yeah. On to Sunday, Essendon v Port Adelaide at Etihad Stadium. Essendon, all sorts at the moment. They're forwards. I think someone's forgotten to tell them that games played the forward half these days because their forwards just do not run when they haven't got the footy. And the ball is just exiting willy-nilly. So they've got a few issues there structurally, Essendon, and I'm not sure how they can address it quickly.
Well, you can't have three tall forwards. I think that's how you address
well,
it.
Well, even if you do have tall forwards, chase, run, put some pressure on. There's no pressure on at all.
But
none.
Can they? Can big blokes do that?
Well, you can even have half a crack. At the moment, they're static.
Mm.
They're just standing there. And it's just not going to get you anywhere. They're conceding 99 points a game, Essendon, and unless something changes quickly, they're in for a bit of a horror stretch, I think.
So, of course, we talked about Ross Lyon being good at identifying the player to tag. He identified Zach Merritt a couple of weeks ago. Zach Merritt got heavily tagged again last week.
Well, he'll be tagged again this week.
So Brad Ebert probably goes to Zach Merritt.
He's an absolute Monty to be tagged, as we discussed earlier in the week. Once you've got the bullseye on your forehead, it's pretty hard to shake it.
I'm tipping Port.
So am I.
It is at Etihad Stadium, which does give the Bombers an in, and they need to respond, which you would suspect they would, given that they had high aspirations this year, so they're being challenged a little bit early.
But Essendon, you mate?
The Bombers.
Yeah, well, they do, but there's one thing about it. It shows some intent. in the forward half. That's my suggestion. And then you might find things change pretty quickly. A tough week for Port too with the Sam Powell Pepper. Obviously, the club imposed suspension for a week. They'll miss him.
It was interesting they moved so quickly to often clubs dither over this and see what the AFL's doing. The AFL's investigation into Powell Pepper's conduct at the nightclub is ongoing.
Nebulous information, however, it looked like it had a couple to me when he was exiting.
Yeah, I think, he's...
He's 10 sheets to the wind.
Yeah, hello.
I'm not sure what your memory's like when you're 10 sheets to the wind. I know mine's not flash.
No, I think there may be a significant amount more to play out in that, but it was good to see the club make the call on him early. You know, regardless of what anyone else does, he broke our team rules, he broke our curfew, yep. Therefore he's not playing, and that means that they move forward and Powell Pepper has to face whatever music he faces from other parties. Okay, so Port?
Yes, absolutely. I'm picking Port Adelaide.
Okay, Hawks v Ds.
A tough one. The big question, will Jordan Lewis ever get a W against his old club? I'm suspecting he might, but not this week. I'm sticking with the Hawks this week. I think there's no shame. 13-point loss to Richmond, no shame. Richmond's still, for me, the yardstick.
Yep.
I think it won't do him any harm, actually, to have that audit, if you like, Hawthorn last week. Sicily is a big in for Hawthorn. Allowing Gunston to spend more time forward. I think he's in good form, Gunston. I think that will throw the balance a little bit Hawthorn's way. Melbourne without Viney for mine isn't the same side. They've been going okay, but yeah, Nothing startling. And until Viney's in that side, I haven't got real confidence in them from week to week.
I'm going to go with the Ds. I put them in my top four at the start of the year, and I'm still waiting for evidence that I was right, and I may be proven wrong. And this is the sort of game which will either encourage me that I might have been right or will make me think, oh, I got that one
so
wrong.
So they win this, they're 3-1?
So they lost...
Yeah, 3, I think.
Yeah, they'd be 3-1.
So that'd be their best start for a long time, well over a decade.
Yeah, they could get some real momentum out of
it. They win this one. I'm getting online next week, and I'm booking the Mount Higginbotham Chalet at Hotham.
Because they'll be cheap?
Oh, they'll be cheap. I reckon the chains are out, dusted off, and just laid down in the backyard ready to put on the Range Rover.
And they'll be waiting to see if there's a W or an L.
Mavis, get the chains out. We're not going anywhere in September.
So you're Hawthorn, I'm going with the Ds. I think it'll be close, and I suspect you
it'll
think
it'll be close. It'll be close, yeah.
Cats v Saints down at Sleepy Hollow.
You know, and look, congratulations. Selwood's copped a bit of a whack over recent times. No one's questioned his ability or his courage, but he passes the great Reg Hickey, 142 games as Geelong captain. So it's the record now for games as Geelong captain. Congratulations to him. 12-26 St Kilda's kicked the last 2 weeks, and forward line is just not operating at all at the moment. I'm not sure what the answer is there. Ball is coming in erratically. St Kilda's in all sorts at the moment. I can't pick against Geelong at GMHBA Stadium. I just can't pick against them. I know they're a little vulnerable. They've got a few outs now. Menzel's out, Cockatoo's out, obviously Ablett's out. I just can't pick against them down there.
Guthrie's out as well.
And nothing St Kilda has done has convinced me that they're a chance here.
If we tip Geelong, and I'm going to tip Geelong.
Yeah, well, I'm tipping Geelong.
We're tipping them for two reasons. One, the Saints don't have much form to recommend them. And two, it's at Cadinia Park. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you look at Geelong's outs.
There's too much wrong with Geelong's form. I mean, Geelong's effort last week, I think, was terrific given their circumstances.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. But those circumstances mean that they are without Ablett. They're without Cam Guthrie. They're without Nakia Cockatoo.
Yes.
And that's on top of being without Harry Taylor and being without Lockie Henderson. And you're telling me that there's no Menzel as well now?
No, sorry, I said not Menzel. No, Guthrie. I meant Guthrie. Sorry, okay. That was my error.
Right. All right. Well, that's a significant number of your first 22 not playing. So really...
And a defence that is vulnerable, but playing against an attack that is hardly setting the world alight at the
dysfunctional
moment. Yeah, it is dysfunctional.
Yeah.
So I'm picking Geelong, and I'm picking them with some confidence.
It's kind of like the negligible force versus the very movable object.
Oh, absolutely.
Well. Okay, I'm going to tip the Cats because it is at Cadinia Park, and they're so hard to beat down there, and because, well, you need to take good form to Cadinia Park to feel like you have a chance to beat them, and the Saints aren't in good nick.
No, no. So Geelong for mine. A couple more questions, or one at least, a really interesting one from Isabel from North Beach. If Perth was to ever host the Commonwealth Games, how would the AFL teams cope? It's a good question.
It's a good question. Well, it depends what time the Commonwealth Games are ostensibly a summer games.
Well, assume it's this time of year again. Where do they play their footy?
If you went a month earlier, which you possibly could, you could have it at Optus Stadium. Our teams could play away for the first month and then come back to the stadium. I suspect you could do that. Or the other option is that it becomes more like the timing of the Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
And you have it in October, which means it comes after the football season. One of the things that was a real sticking point in the negotiation between the AFL and the government over the stadium deal was, okay, this is now the one place we can play AFL football in Perth, and it's a multi-purpose stadium. What guarantees can you give us that we have access to the stadium? That was a major sticking point. Mm. Now, it was the government's view that the AFL was too strong on the conditions it was trying to set, that it was trying to freeze other sports out of the stadium, but you can understand the AFL's viewpoint in that, you know. You might end up with West Coast and Fremantle playing at the Wacker in front of 20,000 for six home games each, which is a lot of money down the toilet.
See, what would be a fair stadium for the Comm Games too. Terrific to watch track and field at that stadium.
I would like to see them go after a World Athletics Championship.
Mm.
That's what I would like to see. One venue, the main stadium, the car park, we've had to fight tooth and nail to get car park passes for. That would be the warm-up track. And I think that would be an absolute primo deluxe event.
What a great marathon too. Something close to my heart. I love the marathon. But imagine that for a finish, just over the new Wharf Bridge and into the stadium. Terrific. Showcasing the city beautifully along the Swan.
Like Karen McCann in Melbourne in 2006. Down the walkway from Federation Square and into the stadium.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful. Up through Kings Park, along the Swan, just showcase the city beautifully.
Okay, so Liam asks, have you changed your ladder prediction for West Coast and Fremantle after three rounds?
I've probably got West Coast. I had them pretty low. I've probably got them closer to the eight. I'm still not convinced they'll make the eight. No, it's early. It's round three, heading into round four. I'm always going to reserve my judgment for a month, but in this season in particular, I'm going to wait a lot longer. Just a lot to play out, and I'd have West Coast a tad higher. Freo pretty high anyway, about 10th, 11th, so I think that's about where they'll finish.
Yeah, I reckon you don't have to adjust Freo. I was probably a little bit low for Freo. I would probably bump Freo up one.
Yep.
And to qualify, I had West Coast 12th, just above Fremantle. And
I had Freo above West Coast.
Before I saw West Coast play in that last JLT Community Series, my range for West Coast was 7 to 11, and I adjusted that because they were so bad against Fremantle at Joondalup. Then I put them 9 to 13 and had them 12th. I would say 7 to 11 is about right. So I would think they still probably just miss, but they're probably a little bit higher up and a little bit more of a final threat than we originally thought. Mind you, if Essendon doesn't improve and St Kilda doesn't improve, some of the teams we had above West Coast are going to be below them.
Well, for me, it's Gold Coast. Because they're at the moment showing that they're every chance to make the eight for the first time. And don't forget, in a little while, they'll be playing some home games.
A lot of home games.
In the
back half of the year.
So they've been good, Gold Coast. They're the one for me. They're the bolder for me at the moment.
Okay. Any more questions, Quarters?
No, that's it for me.
Done and dusted?
We are done and dusted.
Okay. Well, good luck with your tips. Good luck with any bets you lay with Tab Touch this weekend. Please make sure you bet responsibly. We'll be back on Tuesday morning. And we'll discuss the outcomes and ebbs and flows and incidents.
Shock upsets.
There'll
be a few.
Glenn will throw in a more I'm taking my clothes off analogies.
Well, there'll be some clothing mentions somewhere, Duff.
Okay. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday. All the best for the week.